Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IoT for All podcast. I'm Ryan Chacon, and on today's episode, we have Gil Dror, Chief Technology Officer at SmartSense by Digi. They are a leading global provider of Internet of Things sensing as a service solution. In our conversation today, we're going to talk a good bit about IoT security, where the biggest vulnerabilities are in the space, how companies can prioritize IoT security. We're also going to dive into LLMs and their effect on IoT, edge computing, and AI. A lot of good topics I think you'll get a lot of value out of. Hope you enjoyed this episode, but before we get into it, we have a quick word from our sponsor. The We Talk IoT Business Podcast is back. Explore best practices, IoT use cases, and formulas for success on your preferred streaming provider, or visit avnet-silica.com/podcast. That's the We Talk IoT Internet of Things Business Podcast. If you want to check it out on the website, it's www.avnet-silica.com/podcast. Welcome, Gil, to the IoT for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Let's kick this off by having you give a quick introduction and overview about your background, experience, who you are, and the company you're with.
Sounds good. So I'm Gil Dror. I'm the CTO for SmartSense. Been in the tech industry for probably over two decades, primarily in healthcare. My background is actually in electronics. I started my career way back when in the Israeli Air Force. And I spent some time with IoT and some robotics, but mostly focused on enterprise software throughout my career. So now with SmartSense, I'm back to a familiar place with hardware and software together, which is great. SmartSense is an IoT sensing as a service platform. Now, I know when you say those two words together, people leave the room these days, you know, IoT and platform. But we're more of a vertical platform than a horizontal one. So, you know, we start with really deep domain expertise. We focus on very specific verticals and we provide an end-to-end solution. So literally hardware to insight and everything in between. But we're also opening up our platform. So if the clients have, you know, their own sensors, their own investments, so it's kind of bring your own device. You know, we can connect it to our platform and deliver more value.
So for our conversation today, we have some interesting topics I know we wanted to talk about. And the first one is just kind of around IoT security. And just from your perspective, kind of give our audience some overview of your current view of IoT security as a whole.
So it's funny, you know, as we think about IoT security, there are estimated over 15 billion connected devices. Just for reference, there are only like 1.4 billion cars. So we're talking a significantly higher number, which is expected to double by 2030. So a significant footprint. But overall, I would say that the security attention to IoT is lagging, right? There's not enough attention put into it. There's definitely not regulation. I mean, NIST is working towards a regulation for that, but very early stage. I mean, they haven't even agreed on what an IoT device is at this point. So a lot to be desired, considering A, the capability of IoT these days and the scope.
Yeah, it's a very interesting space to kind of just follow in general when it comes to IoT security. What do you think, or where do you think, I guess you'd ask, along kind of, if you take a whole IoT solution, where do you think the biggest vulnerabilities are? Or the biggest areas that really people should be paying attention to when it comes to thinking about how to protect their solution?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd say before I answer this, I want to just put a little bit of definition on IoT just for the sake of this conversation. So in my mind, IoT really is, you know, any sensor that has good communication skills, right? So very broad, but, you know, it's a device that actually captures telemetry data and sends it somewhere. And for the sake of this conversation, we will focus mostly on IoT for enterprise, right? We're not going to be talking about some clock that's downloading the time. So in that context, first and foremost, as an enterprise solution, you're going to be inheriting all the vulnerabilities from a typical cloud infrastructure. So I'm not going to go into that, but everything related to API, cloud access, you know, port scanning, all of those vulnerabilities exist in the IoT world. In addition, you're going to inherit a few others as well. I'd say the biggest one is physical access to devices, right? So IoT by definition needs to be where we are and where clients are. So if you think about a typical hospital, you know, room, you go in, You have a sensor on the bed to measure the temperature of the bed. Then you have a CO2 sensor in the room. You have a wristband on the patient that tracks where they are and also tracks their temperature. So there's a variety of devices. They're all accessible, you know, and people can just reach out and grab them. And if it's a malicious actor, then they have full access to that device. They can take them home and take them apart. So that would say that's number one. Second is the communication from that device to a gateway, right? So typically in enterprise applications, you're going to have some sort of short range protocol, you know, Z-Wave, ZigBee, BLE, and newer ones, LoRa, right? But you're going to have some protocol that's taking the data from your local devices into some sort of gateway or router, and then that uploads it to the cloud. So the communication from the device to the gateway obviously is a big vulnerability space. For jamming, for interception, if I'm sitting there with a sniffer, what can I do with that data? Can I change the data on the fly? Tons of vulnerabilities around that. The gateway itself is a vulnerability point. If you're using a gateway that's actually connected to your network through Wi-Fi or Ethernet, well, now you may be exposing your own network to, you know, providing privileged access to your own network, right? If you're using maybe a gateway that's cellular, that's a little bit safer because now you're going directly through carrier. But again, still, that device is sitting on site. Everybody has access to it. And all the communication, both to IoT and to the cloud, you know, is a vulnerability area.
And when you talk to companies or you interact with others, or maybe for our audience who's listening to this and kind of curious, how can they prioritize IoT security amid all the increasing threats from, you know, cyber attacks, data breaches, insider, you know, just lots of different areas that attacks can come from. How should people be prioritizing their IoT security and thinking about that?
Yeah, great question. I think it's there's a lot of misinformation, and I think people think IoT is some new invention, and maybe we don't have the right, the right protocols or the right approach to actually deal with its security. But the reality is that We've known what needs to be done for a long time, and it's really the same basic security principles that you're applying to your backend. You just have to apply it to security there. So I would say there's really three levels. Kind of at the basic level, you know, start with, you know, secure protocols, right? How are these devices communicating with each other? Simple things. Update the firmware. Make sure that you have regular updates of the firmware with security patches. That means you need some mechanism for updating the firmware, preferably over the air. You need to know what operating system it's running, what its capabilities are, what's the risk surface of attack there. Follow a zero trust methodology. Just assume that the devices are malicious, and then work from there. Don't assume the opposite. Use encryption. You know, it's simple things like that. You know, just implementing those little things will get you very far and probably beyond the capabilities of most common hackers, you know. But if you think about taking it a step further, some of the devices now, especially ones that have better computing, could offer other things. So there's some new technologies out there where you're actually running some secure memory space, and it's actually running an agent that's observing how your device is operating. So as an example, if you have a sensor that's supposed to send a reading every 15 minutes, but somebody hacked it to use it as a DDoS attack, and all of a sudden it's sending a reading every 5 seconds, well, that agent is going to pick it up and it's going to shut down that sensor. Things like that, that's kind of the next level, I'd say, and probably not applicable to every device, but more common. It's becoming more common now with the computational power that's available.
Yeah, I think it's fair to also say, you know, when it comes to thinking about, you know, future threats, that's always something that scares people is, you know, how much time and money am I have to invest into this at the beginning? You know, is it too late if I'm already deployed and really didn't put that much emphasis on security, or what happens kind of in the future as my deployment's out in the field and there's problems or there's new threats that are attacking something that makes, you know, a vulnerability in my solution? It's definitely a challenge, but something that I feel like from discussions I've had in the past and kind of what you're saying is the earlier you can think about it, the earlier you can invest time in it, the more protection you're going to basically kind of probably afford yourself as long as you do it correctly. But it's definitely a unique space for sure to have to really, you know, keep your finger on the pulse to understand what to do and when to do it.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, even if you're already deployed, I would highly recommend they do some sort of risk assessment and basically try to identify the highest risk within that infrastructure and try to resolve that. And then there's multiple ways that you can still impact IoT, even if they're already deployed. And so I would highly encourage companies to explore that and not just immediately give up and say, okay, well, next version. There might be simple things that they can do right now.
And when it comes to kind of the approach companies take for IoT security, do you ever see it varying dependent upon, or I guess varying by industry? Like, do certain industries need to be paying more attention versus less attention? Is there different approaches that industries should take if they're, let's say, the common use cases are in one environment versus multiple environments, traveling in different environments? Like, how do you kind of feel like so IoT security changes depending on use case, industry, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think there's certain things that all industries are going to be looking at, reliability, uptime, how is the security going to impact that, right? What kind of attack vectors are going to impact the reliability and uptime of the system? Can somebody take off the system by pulling the power plug, which, by the way, happens a lot, right? If somebody sees a power outlet, says, hey, I need to charge my phone. Boom, they disconnect. And what happens then? Okay, is your system going to have a redundancy to stay there? So security doesn't always necessarily have to be, hey, I'm attacking your server and I'm going to steal data. Security could also be loss of productivity or loss of system capacity. So I'd say definitely that's across the board. There probably are specifics. So if we're talking about healthcare, for example, there's always the big question, okay, what kind of device is this? You know, is this a medical device? Is this a device that's handling PHI or PII? You know, is HIPAA going to be involved here? So that's a big question. There's a question on integration with existing systems, right? If I'm integrating with an EHR system, can I compromise that system now by allowing this connection for this foreign IoT network? Another big thing that healthcare looks at specifically is the accuracy of your data and audit trail, right? So how likely is it that someone can compromise the integrity of your data? Because, you know, 6 months from now, when the FDA comes in and says, hey, pull all the logs for this lot number, which happened 6 months ago, you know, they have to be confident that that report is accurate and it's actually presenting what the telemetry was at that time. Anything that's going to impact that is going to be a big problem in this space. And of course, data privacy. Hey, you're collecting data. Are you broadcasting it? Who's getting the data? Where is it saved? Is it saved on the device? How? Right. So there's a lot of those questions. When it comes to retail, I'd say, or warehousing or things like that, they care probably more around the connectivity and coverage because there is just a lot more square footage that needs to be covered. They also have a much bigger staff / customer access issue, right? So there are a lot more people that are walking next to your devices, touching the devices. You know, if you're a device in a fridge in a grocery store, you can literally pick up the milk and the device at the same time. Nobody will know. You're just walking out with it. So things like that, they're going to be more concerned about from a security perspective. And I would say they also care about integration. I mean, in their case, they're going to be integrating maybe with task management systems or inventory systems. So again, we want to make sure that connecting to this IoT platform isn't going to compromise their existing system.
So this is unrelated to the security side, but as we get into and we see a lot of what's happening in the AI space right now and these large language models like ChatGPT and stuff, how do you feel like those LLMs are going to be affecting IoT or benefiting IoT or, you know, just kind of playing a role in the space?
Great question. So I know, you know, in general, talking about this seems like, you know, in a lot of places I hear like, oh, it's the next buzzword. I actually disagree with that. I do think it fundamentally represents a revolution in interacting with data. I would say it's equivalent in my mind to the jump we've had from Yahoo to Google, right? Where we've taken a list of, you know, a map of the internet and just exposed a text box and said, hey, just ask the question and we'll give you the list of pages. Well, this is the next step after that that says, forget the pages, I'll understand the context and I'll actually give you an answer. What's more surprising to me about this technology is the adoption and how it's adopted by really common users. But if you think about something like blockchain, which was introduced 10 years ago, still today, if you ask someone on the street, hey, what's blockchain? They're not going to be able to explain it. They may tell you, it's something with money. Hackers use it, you know, but they won't be able to explain it. When you ask them about ChatGPT, they'll tell you an example from their real life where they used it to actually gain value. Oh, I wrote a paper through it, or I wanted to read a book and it recommended the right book for me to read. So tangible use cases. I guess what I'm getting at is this is a perfect partner to IoT. If you think about typical IoT interface, it's always driven by the vendor, right? We understand the domain, we build a UI, or we build reports to try to visualize the data and expose the data to the users. The users never had this raw access to the data through an intelligent interface where they can really ask contextual questions and get answers. So I think these models with IoT are a perfect match because it's going to connect that interface to the physical world, right? So instead of just querying a list of articles online, I'm actually querying the area around me. I can ask questions about the business. I can ask questions about the telemetry within my organization in a very intelligent way.
Fantastic. Yeah. Something we haven't touched on yet. So I appreciate you jumping into that. And one of the areas that is kind of popular right now is obviously edge computing in IoT. But when we think about incorporating AI, where do you kind of see that going? Like, what do you see the potential there for? How's that going to be done? Or what needs to be done to kind of make those advancements? I feel like it's already kind of being started. I know machine learning is happening at the edge a decent amount. But on the AI side, where do you kind of see or how do you kind of see that being done to benefit the IoT space and solutions that are, you know, utilizing edge computing?
Yeah, great question. A great topic in general. So it's interesting. I mean, we can probably divide the world of edge computing into two. One is executing machine learning models, and the other one is actually training a machine learning model on the edge. So I'd say for the first one, for the execution one, we're pretty far down into it, right? There's plenty of devices out there specifically around image recognition, you know, process control, security. There's plenty of them. You know, typically they're in IoT devices that have no problem with computing power or energy consumption. You know, they have plenty of RAM and they can execute that. We've also seen some innovation with things like TinyML, where they're trying to take that concept and actually bring it down to battery powered devices, which I think is great because, you know, we're going to basically be extending that possibility, making these small devices even more intelligent. But that's still limited to the execution of the model. It's not really taking data and training a model on the spot. That's where I think the next jump is going to be, where we get to the point where edge devices can take input and train models directly on the spot without having to send the data anywhere, just doing that computation on the spot. Think about the potential of that. Not just the time to action that you have from being able to absorb new information, add it to the model, and actually take action immediately, almost, you know, in the blink of an eye for a user. But also think about the computing capability that you have now. If you have a network of IoT devices, instead of trying to centralize all the processing on the back end, the processing is going to happen where the data is and then be sent to the cloud after that. So it's a different paradigm. I don't think we could do it necessarily with the current chip architecture that we have, but that's a different story.
One thing that came up in prior to us chatting was the term neuromorphic computing, and that was something new to me. Can you just kind of, to wrap this up, just kind of tell our audience what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you think about your typical chipset, you know, it hasn't changed in eons. It's still the same binary, you know, 1-0. And if you think about machine learning and their capabilities, they're basically relying on GPUs, right? So graphic processing, which can process a lot of things at the same time, lots of RAM, lots of power. You know, the problem with these are ingredients is they don't scale down very easily. They scale up very easily, but they don't really scale down very easily. So it's very difficult to take that and put it on a battery powered device, you know, that's sitting in the middle of a desert. What neuromorphic chip design is trying to do, and by no means, I'm not an expert in that, more of a hobbyist, but what they're trying to do is really mimic how the brain works and try to convert that into a chip that can execute commands. So, you know, if you think about the brain as a computing unit, it's actually very effective because it uses a network, almost like a graph database, to execute very complex computations, you know, with very little battery, you know, very little calorie consumption. So neuromorphic chips are basically trying to take that same concept and apply it to IoT. Now, there are already companies in that space like BrainChip that have proven that this is more than just a theory. I mean, you could basically take that and execute it.
Yeah, we actually spoke to somebody from BrainChip a number of weeks ago. So yeah, it's a very interesting space for sure. But yeah, thank you for coming on and talking about a lot of these different topics, the security side, the LLMs, you know, AI, all that kind of stuff that's going on. Very exciting stuff to think about. Consider a lot of people out there that have their solutions out there. But the security is something that, you know, I think everyone would highly recommend you think about as early as possible and kind of as frequently as possible. So glad you came on and kind of shed some light onto that. For our audience who wants to learn more, follow up, engage after this with you, the company, and so forth, what's the best way they can do that?
Sure, they can go to smartsense.co or follow us on LinkedIn. Also, feel free to reach out to me with any questions or comments. You know, we'd love to hear from you. And thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gil. It's great to have you and to look forward to getting this out to our audience. And we'll be sure to get this out pretty quickly so our audience can benefit from this conversation. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ryan.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for joining us this week on the IoT for All podcast on the IoT for All Media Network. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave us a rating or review and be sure to subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, if you have a guest you'd like to see on the show, please drop us a note at ryan@iotforall.com and we'll do everything we can to get them as a featured guest. Thanks again for listening and we'll see you next time.